When a major storm hits anywhere in America, we, of course, recognize and mourn the loss of lives that result. As these catastrophic storms increase, there's another impact to the areas that they hit, which is economic. And that's the focus of a report my guest is here to talk about. It's called Billion Dollar Losses, Trillion Dollar Threats, the Cost of Climate Change. He's the executive director of E2, Bob Keefe. How are you today, Bob?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
And the website for E2 is, right, e2.org. And I'll give you the web address for the report, but we have it linked at our page as well, e2.org/reports/ cost of climate change with a hyphen between each word. But like I said, we have that link up at our page so you can take a look at the details that we might not have time to get into in our talk here with Bob. But talk about what the purpose of this report is, Bob.
Well, thanks for that, Chris. And look, the point is, we all are starting to realize this, but climate change, we used to talk about climate change as an environmental issue, as a social issue, as a health issue, as an environmental justice issue. For sure, it is all of those things, Chris. But now it's an economic issue, too, and it's one that's hitting all of us right in the pocketbook. I say that because nationwide last year alone, we had $150 billion worth of damage from climate-related disasters, wildfires in the west, so many hurricanes in the east that we occasionally run out of names for them now, certainly flooding and drought in our nation's heartland. That was up 50% from just the year before, Chris, and New Jersey has borne a lot of this brunt.
To the tune of $12 billion, we're on the list of the dozen states that have seen their five-year disaster losses top $10 billion. Texas, Puerto Rico, the greatest losses, $202 and $106 billion, respectively. I would have expected Florida, quite frankly, to be higher in that total. It's obviously a significant number, $71 billion. I would have thought them to be also a candidate for the triple-digit number. So I guess that's something positive to be said for Florida. It could always be worse. Same with California, it's $73 billion with the wildfires going on.
That's right. That's right. There were some surprises in there. And look, Florida and California are certainly on our minds quite often these days, especially given the hurricane that Florida is recovering from now, which, by the way, looks like it's going to be the most expensive hurricane in Florida history again. But it's important to realize that these climate disasters are hitting all around the country. And there's no place, whether it's a red state, a blue state, purple state, inland state, coastal state, that's not feeling these impacts. As you mentioned in our report, and this is all based on data from NOAA, by the way, the number one state for cumulative losses over the past 40 years or so has been Texas. And yes, that's hurricanes, yes, that's flooding, but that's also things like extreme heat. That's also things like the worst freeze, the most expensive freeze our nation has ever seen, which happened to be in, by God, Texas last year, right? Louisiana, quite naturally or quite understandably, is number two on that list because of the horrific hurricanes and other storms that they've seen over the years, but also because it's obviously a very low-lying place and we have sea level rise to contend with now. As you mentioned, New Jersey is number nine on this list. Last year, as you mentioned, it was close to $12 billion worth of damage. A lot of that was from Hurricane Ida. But 5 years before that, it was Harvey. 10 years ago before that, 10 years ago this week, as a matter of fact, was Superstorm Sandy. In fact, over the past 40 years, New Jersey has suffered more than $50 billion worth of damage. But it's important to also remember, Chris, that unfortunately, we're just talking about sort of the tip of the iceberg here. These are direct damage losses from these storms. Think about things like homeowners insurance up 50% over the past decade's time. Think about things like food costs and what happens when we have crop losses, whether it's in New Jersey or in Iowa, from these storms that we're seeing in increasing numbers and increasing strength, and what that does to our grocery bill costs.
States like Iowa made the list too, as far as on the high end of disaster losses, with $16 billion. A lot of that being to the farmlands and to the to the food chain and the food access. So I was looking at the report. I was looking at one of these charts in the report. Billion-dollar disasters across the U.S. are growing in number and severity. And you look at the visual, and there's a trend. You go back to 92, you see a spike. There's a little lessening off for the subsequent years. You get to around 2005. Now there's a larger spike. Repeat the downturn, not as down as the turn the previous decade. You get to 2017, 2018, the spike is back, even heavier. So as I always say with polls and surveys, it's not where you are, it's what the trend is showing where you're going. That is not the way we want to be going.
You're exactly right. This is not the way we want to be going, but frankly, it's the way that we've really known we were going to be heading for some time, and it's only going to get worse if we don't do more about it. I mean, look, in the last 5 years alone, we've had three of the nation's most expensive hurricanes. Four of the nation's most expensive hurricanes, three of the nation's most expensive wildfires, the most expensive freeze in our nation's history, as I mentioned, in Texas, the most expensive thunderstorm event, a derecho that hit Iowa we were talking about back in 2018, I think, that wiped out 40% of the corn crop. And if you've ever been to Iowa, you know it's all about corn there.
Yes.
So these things, that's just in the past 5 years we've seen these most expensive storms. And as I mentioned, this storm that just hit Florida is shaping up to be the most expensive there on record.
So Bob Keefe, who is the executive director of E2, e2.org is their website. Looking at the report, billion-dollar losses, trillion-dollar threats, the cost of climate change, which you can also find at the link we have at our homepage from the e2.org website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The report also addresses solutions, and solutions delayed is just, you know, the obvious poorest action to take. We have here, you mentioned Superstorm Sandy. We have low-lying areas around the region of the Meadowlands, which they've done some Band-Aids, maybe at best. I'm not probably being generous saying that. But as far as any, put it in the football term, prevent defense, that's sadly lacking. And I'm sure that's not the only region. Are the ideas there? Is the possibility there to turn the trend that the report refers to around so we don't see this continued increase of not just cost in lives, but cost in the economy, which also impacts lives? You know, we were talking about jobs as well when it comes to the economic impact that the storms leave in their wake.
Right, absolutely. Well, Chris, earlier this year, I released a book called Climatenomics, Washington, Wall Street, and the Economic Battle to Save Our Planet. And the whole point of the book is that there's kind of two sides of the climatenomics coin, as I like to say, Chris. And certainly it's the cost that we've been talking about. But it's also the other side of the coin, if you will, is the economic benefits we can get by climate, by taking climate action. And fortunately, finally, we're starting to see some of that. The biggest and most important climate legislation we've ever seen in this country, and in fact, probably the world, was signed into law earlier this year by President Biden. It's the Inflation Reduction Act. What that does is invest $370 billion into climate solutions. And when I say that, I'm talking about, yes, funds to help shore up seashores and things like that, like you were talking about. But the bulk of that is transitioning our country to cleaner sources of energy, to renewables, to improved energy efficiency, and, of course, to cleaner cars. And what we know is that by doing that, or the projections rather, by doing that, we can reduce our carbon emissions in this country by 40% by 2030. Now, reducing our carbon emissions means reducing the fuel that we're essentially pumping into these climate disasters that are making them stronger and making them more powerful and making them more expensive. So and that's going to be bringing good things to New Jersey directly as well. Under the Inflation Reduction Act, projections are that there's going to be about $11 billion in new investment, private investment in utility scale solar, wind, batteries in the state of New Jersey. An additional 250,000 homes are expected to be able to afford and put solar panels on their houses because of a 30% tax credit for that now. And we're going to see, of course, a lot more electric vehicles on the road because every single car maker right now is shifting toward EVs, in part because of the $7,500 tax credit that's included for consumers who buy these vehicles under the Inflation Reduction Act. So is it a prevent defense? Hopefully it's more like an offense.
Yes.
To finally do something about these storms that are battering our country and battering our economy while it's doing it.
And to go along with what Bob was saying about the EV cars, I believe GM is doing maybe the extra mile by reinforcing the EV charging station projects that they have going as well, which is, you know, for their own best situation, because the more easy it looks like to recharge your electric vehicle, more electric vehicles are going to wind up being sold.
That's exactly right. And under another piece of legislation that was passed late last year that you probably heard about, which is the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the bipartisan infrastructure bill. We're talking about putting aside federal money to help fund 500,000 car charging stations along our nation's highways. That equates to one about every 50 miles on big interstates like 95 and others, which is going to make a huge difference. I mean, look, right now it's understandable that people don't want to rush out and buy an EV because they're a little more expensive and it's a little harder to fill them up when you're on the road. But I got to tell you, it's a lot easier to fill them up when it's sitting in your garage.
Yes.
These things, fortunately, are happening, and they're happening at a crucial time. And we need to keep them moving forward if we're going to bring down these costs, these economic costs of climate change that we're talking about.
And to do it as a transition, not slamming the door on the established before we've established what we want to transition to, which a lot of people make the mistake of, well, let's just eliminate before we're certain of where we're going. And that could be a disaster too. If you know, caution to the wind is, again, not always a wise choice. Learn more about billion-dollar losses, trillion-dollar threats, the cost of climate change. You can download the report at e2.org. We've linked to it as well at our homepage. He is the executive director of E2, Bob Keefe. Bob, thanks for the insight into the future. When you really get down to it, the immediate future, maybe more so than people think. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.